and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addie and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addie.
Hey, yo, I'm just a poor boy from a poor family. I'm not going to... Should I keep singing?
No, you should not.
Well, I'm just going to say this. I know the show's going up a little bit later than usual. Usually we can't guarantee we're going to have the best post-pay-per-view analysis. But we will generally guarantee the first pay-per-view analysis.
Yes.
Unfortunately, today, I guess I was leveling my steps out front and the walk and doing a lot of work, cement work and that type of thing. And
is that what the kids are calling it?
Yeah, you were I guess, at a family barbecue. So the question is, which of us had a shittier day?
Me. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we both kind of had... SummerSlam, not the... What would you give SummerSlam out of 10?
I would give it right what I expected, which is like 6.
I was going to say, I give it probably a 6.5. You know, just
that's what my expectations were, though, about a 6.
My expectations were, 5-6, and it was a little bit better than my expectation,
yeah,
I guess, okay, in terms of that. But speaking of you, we opened it with a Tool guitarist.
Now, I was going to make that joke, but about Vince Russo.
Right. Tool guitarist.
Guitarist.
Let's make a Russo joke here, then. Tool guitarist Adam Jones, WWE did not put the tag team title on him.
No, well, there you go.
Like Adam Pac-Man Jones.
I believe that was a Jeff Jarrett's call, but still a Tool.
It was probably Dixie Carter's Tool. Yeah. Or Tool. Yeah, well,
yeah. Dixie Carter's Tool.
Yeah.
That's
I know what I know where she uses her tool.
Yeah.
Anyway. We opened a...
Wait a second. Did you say that the Dixie Carter has new theme music? They decided against the Cult of Personality takeoff.
Yes.
Because
yeah,
it wasn't
they
original.
Do. I will.
Mickey James is
Mickey James. Hardcore cunt.
Tree?
Anyway. I don't know. Does she have a tree? I don't even know. We open the pay-per-view after the Jimi Hendrix-esque guitar playing of the American national anthem to Miz coming out with his WrestleMania entrance, the inflatable awesome, which parts as it happens here.
Let's
so
that's the last we see of that.
Yeah, it was dumb. I mean, yeah. Anyway, so he comes out. It's him. He cuts a promo thanking people actually for coming out. Doesn't really get much of a babyface pop, but he does come out and thank some people.
Well, because that's his hometown, right?
What is?
Well,
yeah.
He lives.
Well, Cleveland, but that's where he lives. Yeah. R-Truth and Alberto Del Rio in a sweet Ferrari against Kofi Kingston, Morrison, and Rey Mysterio. Not much to say in this, you know, just to get these six guys on the show. Rey Mysterio gets the Duke, beating R-Truth with the Splash. And we move on with our life.
Let me just first off, there was a question that Booker T, every time something big and important happened tonight,
yes,
he asked the announcers, why don't you ask me about that, about this match right now?
Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't show up, actually, until right now. We should mention, it was King, Michael Cole, and Booker T doing... The commentating, no Jim Ross.
No, well, why would you want to use him?
No.
He's only the best.
Carlos Cabrera also was somebody else. No Hugo Samedovich. He also gets screwed.
Yeah.
So there you go.
But I don't care about that because I am not Spanish.
Oh. But
I care about JR not being there. He's going to be there tomorrow night. Why the hell would you not?
We presume.
Well, yeah, wow.
There you go. We move on to a Punk and Johnny Ass segment, which is where you showed up.
Yeah,
He demanded an apology from Punk, and Punk did a golly gee Williker, very, you know, sarcastic apology.
Yeah, it was okay.
Turned around to see Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah, Oliver.
There. Oliver.
Yeah, taking up, not Oliver. It just seemed like it was only the top half of her, and yet there was still as much in that top half with the weight she's gained as it was of her in 1999.
Oliver knows.
Oliver knows.
And he says that both Hunter and Vince wish... interesting to note here, actually, is that Punk did say, even though your Vince is not in charge of the day-to-day operations,
still the CEO.
He is still the chairman of the board.
Yeah, so, exactly, chairman of the board, to do that.
But
I do have a question. That first match, who was it that actually pinned who?
Ray pinned Truth.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but then you get and then you know Stephanie goes says to Shane.
How
Punk's
much
hand,
it was Ray in the match because he had apparently been injured and they've been protecting him on the house show.
Yeah, he,
6 minutes away to protect him. Plus, he has a title match tomorrow night in San Diego.
In San Diego.
So,
yeah, he was in. You know, for the finish, he did some stuff. But I mean, yeah, I mean, it was. It wasn't like he was the babyface in peril or anything, right?
Okay, so he didn't carry the majority of it.
No.
Tomorrow, him against Alberto Del Rio for the title. So that's
right.
You know.
Yes.
I guess we'll get there.
The Mexican will win. But here we go, and then Steph goes to shake his hand. He goes, no, I know where that hand has been, and walked off. And that moves us to Sheamus versus Mark Henry.
So you mean he's heard the stories about Macho Man?
That is exactly true, and that'll tie into the match later on. Mm-hmm. Sheamus.
Because of his trunks and his boots?
Yes, yes, and the big elbow that got a Randy Savage chant.
But I did, you know, we did notice that, I mean, not only did he do that, he did get some Randy Savage chants, and when in the match he did do the elbow, the announcers no-sold it. That was interesting.
It wasn't really interesting. I mean, you don't, these aren't announcers that are, if Jim Ross no-sold it, then, you know, it'd be okay, well, that's interesting.
Everybody knows that's Savage, though. Also, Punk's.
Yeah, but why are they going to point it out?
The
I mean,
the stars on his trunks and the way he did it—not quite like Macho Man, but almost like an updated version.
Well, yeah, but he's had those for a while now.
Yeah, yeah, I just never clued in on it.
Oh, I did. Yeah, I did. As soon as he, I always thought that when he came out in the, especially when he came out in the Macho Man attire.
Yeah.
You know, it was the three stars. I remember. Yeah, when he debuted in ECW and he had those three, I thought, okay, well, that's pretty cool. Okay. So, anyway. Henry wins by countout. They do a spot where Mark Henry spears or throws or
kind of a plodding match, not a great
block.
Match. Sheamus was over, but the crowd was as the match went on, did less into it.
It was what you'd expect from these from Mark Henry. I mean, Sheamus did his chop down the tree spots that got pops, and Henry did his power moves, and you know, and
yeah, so nothing spectacular until like you say the kind of like, power slam move through the barricade that led to the count out, and they got some chance and got the crowd really popping for it, including the guy from Chuck.
Yes,
and,
Morgan Grimes.
And, I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, you kind of, like, I didn't want to see either one of them necessarily lose. So I guess it's the right finish.
Well, as I said, I was thinking double count out was what I was thinking going in, and, you know, and so, I mean, yeah, nobody gets pinned, so it's fine. It is what it is, right? So,
yeah.
And we'll get to coming down to have the heel Henry.
And by the way, when he actually put him through that, wasn't that the first time Booker T said?
Did you see that?
Yes.
Yeah, I noticed it more in the Wade Barrett. It was in the the Christian match. But anyway.
Actually, that is I think the first time he said it was. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Because why would they have seen it?
Yeah. No. You can't see me.
Yeah.
You can't see me. Kelly against Beth Phoenix up next. Eve Torres. In with Kelly, of course. Natalia.
Why don't you just go up next to the next match of the one people care about?
Well, Kelly. Yeah, Kelly.
Pulls off the upset.
Gets the Duke, as it were.
Yeah, she
and,
was going for the bitch clamp or whatever you call it. And then she kind of turned it into a roll-up. She got the win. She got out of the ring. Eve Torres, like you say, was out there. Natalia out there.
Decent match. I mean, it wasn't horrible. I mean, it
wasn't great. I mean, it's not great, but it wasn't horrible. The finish was a nice athletic-looking move.
Better,
but here's my problem.
Better
than
I thought.
You have the 2 seconds out there. And then they do nothing.
Yeah, well,
what's the point of that?
No, I know.
And I think that you can do that, but they should have had the Divas of Doom beat them down then at the end.
What a rush that would be, eh?
Yeah.
We go then backstage to the best of time, worst of times. You know, got our hopes up for a minute spot when R-Truth talking to the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart.
It actually seemed like the way that the direction they were going, like they were seriously talking about him managing him.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe they will do this. What the hell? Well, maybe they will. Or maybe they'll just be another manager and they'll finally bring managers back.
Well, then when he said Jimmy.
Yeah.
And I thought,
you noticed it and you pointed to me and you're like, ah, Jimmy. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. And then that turned
into
a joke.
And then he said, I didn't need little Jimmy, I got big Jimmy. And I said, okay, well, then maybe that's what it was. I don't need little Jimmy, I got big Jimmy.
But then
instead,
he said,
he went all paranoid and said, Jimmy, are you little Jimmy? Jimmy, Jimmy, Jimmy. And it was like, oh, fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. And instead it turned into a bad joke with a punchline that didn't get a laugh. And guess what they also used this time? Because this isn't played out. C-U-N-spiracy.
C-O-N.
What did I say? C-U-N?
Yeah, C-U-N.
Oh, I'm sorry, think about Dixie.
It wasn't a conspiracy, no. Then we go to what we've noticed, and we were fucking bitching about all night, commercials.
Yes.
There was a fucking Twix commercial.
How much was this?
$54.95.
To pay for commercials. And I'm not talking commercials. It's one thing to have a commercial for your own product, like a movie.
For your next pay-per-view.
Or for your next pay-per-view, or your movie, or even a Raw or Smack. But for Twix and no,
Slim
you know
Jim and
pay.
A Jason Statham movie.
Yeah, you can fucking give us like this match sponsored by, and it's a half second spot. I don't mind that.
Well, then they did
but to
do
take,
that
like, a 30,
too.
Yeah, but to take a 30-second spot and do a commercial.
Yeah, it was dumb. And that Slim Jim commercial was fucking went on forever.
Well, yeah, because I was like, let's skip through this. And you're like, well, I want to see who the next spokesman is.
I want to see who the new, need a little
and,
excitement
well,
stuff to Slim Jim, and there wasn't one.
Whoever the next spokesman
there
is,
wasn't
not
one.
Snapping into anything.
There wasn't one.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck. So we move on to Wade Barrett and Daniel Bryan. Wade Barrett gets the Duke.
Yeah.
And, you know, great match.
I wouldn't say great match, but it was a solid match.
Actually, probably
the second best match on the show.
Yeah,
solid match. I think that you notice that Dan O'Brien has a buzz and a facial hair, and all of a sudden he doesn't look like 14.
He looks tougher.
He looks tougher and he looks older.
Yeah.
I don't know why they still bill him at 192, because if they billed him at 210, everybody would buy it.
Yeah.
So just do that, just to get him over that hump. I figure that's a, you know, political thing from a long time ago is why he's billed at that. But just start to move it up. I mean, it's like Owen Hart and these guys, a lot of these guys, Chris Benoit, when they first came in, they were billed at lower than what they eventually were billed at when they got main event status. So just start pushing it up.
Yeah, it was weird, actually. As he went on in his career in the WWE, Chris Benoit was gradually weighed more, or billed as weighing more.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was.
He started off being like 215, then he was 227, then he was 234.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, but it doesn't matter. You can do that with Brian. They should start billing him as a higher weight.
How much
work anyway.
Does testosterone weigh? About 30 pounds, I guess, then. Yeah.
Well, you weigh about 110 and you have none. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, okay. Good. Well, that's not what your mother said. Now we go to the match of the night.
My mother has a lot of testosterone.
She does. She needs to shave again, by the way. Her back. Match of the night. Christian and Randy Orton, no holds barred.
I want to go back to this Wade Barrett before we move on a little bit. So Wade Barrett getting the Duke. What do you think that means? Because you got a guy, you got the guy with the briefcase losing clean. So I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Well, my thought was he beat the guy with the briefcase so they can put the briefcase up for grabs at the Night of the Champions. That's my thought with that. That just sort of.
And then Daniel Bryan retains, or are they going to give him to Barrett?
No, Daniel Bryan wins, and off we go.
Well, then don't you need a rubber match, because you've actually had one win for her?
Well, you were saying that you should, and maybe you do, but...
Or do you just have another match, this time Daniel Bryan wins, and then the rubber match is for the briefcase? Do you build it up like that? Does that mean more then?
Well, I just think that you put the Night of Champions is when you put the championship title shot on. I don't think you put the title belt on the line.
How about Daniel Bryan beats him then on a SmackDown?
Okay, you can do that too. That's fine if you want to do
that.
If you're really having this boner over three matches, and
I don't think it matters. It doesn't make sense. If the guy loses or clean once and another guy wins clean once, if you're going to have momentum for the character, you can't have it going on, he's just as good as. You have to build on that a little bit. You have to have that.
Well, can you not have that doubt then, where they were 1-1, And Brian goes on and wins the title at Mania, and then he's got Barrett there going, we're 1-1, and he's saying maybe he is just as good as him, and now you've got a reasonable contender for your champion.
Yeah, I agree with that, but that's why I'm asking you what they're doing. Like, that's my point is.
Well, you asked, what would I do?
No, I didn't say that. Actually, did I say that?
Yeah, I think you didn't.
No, I didn't. I said, what do you think that means?
Oh, what do you think that means, yeah.
Yeah.
And
so,
that's what I think it means.
Okay, so, I mean, that's kind of my point on that is I'm looking at this, and this could be, I mean, it depends on your point of view. You could look at it as Daniel Bryan needs every single win he can get and should go on a huge winning streak leading into WrestleMania so people buy him as a guy who can win the title and is the top contender. Or, you know, he loses this and then it's the setup that, like I said, that rubber match thing. It'll be interesting to see where they go from it from here. Because it could either, I mean, my first instinct was Wade Barrett winning was the right booking because it can lead to that next match and the rubber match and a good little feud. But it does depend on, they could fuck it up, is my point.
Yeah, yeah. Well, of course they could. They probably will.
Well, they could fuck up a gangbang in a whorehouse, right?
That is very true. Well, that's because there's women there and Brian Gewirtz isn't interested in them.
Yeah, no.
But
your mom's there.
The next match is Christian against Randy Orton. Christian brings out Edge to open, looking like 2005 Chris Jericho.
Yeah, it really was.
And
except for a better sense of fashion.
Yeah, yes. Well, that's undoubtedly true. But Edge comes out and was going to stand there and talked about how Christian whined and bitched and complained and yada yada, and he's a whiny bitch and that Edge isn't going to
basically, he said, yeah, I opened the door just a crack for you, I thought, and then you kicked it open. You're two-time champion, but, yeah, you're a whiny bitch, and basically told him to grow up.
Yeah.
It's basically the point of that.
Grow
and walk out, which
and
is good, because I was saying, this didn't make sense for him to, he's a face, and he couldn't help the heel, and yet you can't set up another match between them by having him not help him because he's apparently never going to be able to wrestle again.
Right.
So I really didn't know where they were going with this. So that was good.
You know, and by
now, it's good to see Edge.
Decent segment, and he was there for the access, much like the Mouth of the South
Christian's facials and his expressions as he started to realize that what Edge was saying to him were hilarious. It was awesome.
Yeah. So.
And speaking of
awesome, this match was great.
Yeah, 4.25-star type deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really. Fourth or fifth best match probably of the year so far in the WWE up there anyways.
Well, this was, I mean, one of those things that, there were chairs and tables. Our RKO through the Spanish announce table caused Orton to get like a giant, like just cut on his arm.
Yeah, he was bleeding from his mouth. I mean, Daniel Bryan early in the night was bleeding from his mouth at the end of his match after the Wasteland. But Orton was bleeding from his elbow, his finger, his mouth. He wiped some blood from his finger
on the side of his face. Yeah,
it was a really physical match, and you got that. It started off kind of boring, but when it got physical, it got real physical. And
yeah,
felt like a fight.
It started off with a kendo stick from Christian, is really what brought that physicality.
Right,
and you'd pointed out this started starting to get more brutal, and then the tables come out and the steps and
because it wasn't just the fact that he brought it out and hit him with it; it was that his intent felt real.
Mm-hmm.
His intent to hurt the guy felt real, and then it continued. Like I say, it felt like a fight.
And it was an RKO. They did do an RKO through the table outside, but the finish was an RKO off the top. Christian comes to jump off the top rope, and Randy Orton RKOs him through ring steps.
Well,
you'll recall into ring
the very
steps that
first
are there
night that he beat him. That was the exact same spot where he went off the rope.
Yes.
And got caught with the RKO.
That's right.
And then the second match, he was
able to block it. And
exactly.
This, again, they did it only with steps involved.
With steps involved. So that it comes full circle. And the thing that I like about what...
Is that what you like
what
about
What I
it?
Like about Christian. But the thing that Christian does really, really well is he sets up a lot of spots in the matches. Like, they're setting up the table here, and they set up the chair here, and they set up all these different things and build to it. And it looks like that move is just about to happen, and just when it does, instead you get a counter or a twist, and it's that...
After counter.
Yeah, and it's what that... And we got that mentioned by Booker and Cole.
Yeah.
But when you get that twist, just when you think you know what's coming, and instead it's something else, that's what gets you excited, because you don't know what's happening anymore. And that's that Bret Hart storytelling. That's what he always did very, very well.
Did that table in the corner ever break?
I don't think it did.
I don't think it did either. They set it up. I mean, well, it broke because he couldn't get it set up. And the look on his face, he's like, oh, shit. So they put it on the side. So they may have just forgone that spot, put
it
up there,
matter,
used
though.
It a little bit. Exactly. It didn't matter.
Well, no, they
but,
teased
I mean,
it, right? He teased being spirited.
Well, they did. Yeah, they teased the stuff. But that seemed almost like...
like I said, that's kind of that breath,
you know,
ad-lib
kind of
thing,
right? Let
them think you know what's going to happen, and then twist it. He talked about that, the psychology, to twist it. That's what Christian does so well, and that's why I think right now he's a, just at the top of his game and the best worker.
It should
his psychology is fantastic.
It should note earlier, and I missed it before the Jimmy Hart R-Truth, we saw Stephanie coming out of John Cena's locker room as well.
Well,
and just walking away, but it just that leads us to after this match now, and to,
what
to
was
go
that
with
Chris
the,
Jericho used to call her.
Oh, what was she? She a filthy, disgusting, low down, dirty, sleazy trash bag hoe.
That was it.
Something like that, yeah.
So she fucked Cena, right?
I assume so. She looked. She had a smile on her face when she left. Anyway, but. That probably will bring us maybe to Orton and Henry now. They're both. Henry gets kept strong, and Orton gets the belt there for this Night of Champions. And as I said to you, I think I would come back with
as much
Christian
as you say that, I think what you're going to see is a four-way because
could be.
Because Henry and Sheamus, the issue wasn't settled, right?
That's right.
But then again, hopefully I would love to see it that the idea of all of this is that you're not building up for a rematch the next month. Give fresh challengers. You can have the guys face each other two or three, four times over the course of the year, but it doesn't have to be month after month after
That's
month.
That's right,
So as much as I was bitching about Orton and Christian after this match tonight, I'm once again at that point where I'm like, I could watch these guys wrestle every night.
Well, that was...
So, their chemistry's so good.
But I did get
Orton's good, but he's at his best with Christian brings out the very... Christian highlights what Orton does well. Like He's so damn good.
Yeah.
He's that damn good. So anyways, so we got our two. Did we get the spot backstage with the basketball player?
No, that was after the Jimmy Hart R2 thing. He stared at, and it was Ron Artest there with his daughter.
Is that who it was? I thought it was Ron Artest. Does he play for the Clippers? I know he's L.A.
No, it's not TNA. So Lakers. Lakers.
Yeah. So then I guess you had the
Stephanie making out or kissing Triple H, right? Is before the main event there as well.
She
just
was on the show a lot.
Bring
which,
it full
which
circle.
Means
with
that
these, those
you
the,
should see her a ton here.
I would think tomorrow then, right?
You know, which I don't want.
No. But, I mean, she interacted with all three of the main players in the main event, essentially,
of course,
right?
And then she didn't show up in the main event.
No.
It was strange.
But
as
we'll get to who did.
Yeah, we'll get
but,
to who did. But, yeah, the main event, the two champions, the... I guess what would you bill it when you have two guys who are both the champions with all this momentum, the irresistible force meets the immovable object? Is that the expression?
It is. It's kind of like this show where I'm irresistible, so I'd be the irresistible force, and, well, you're fat, so you would be the immovable object.
Well, that wasn't nice.
Well, sorry.
It's okay.
Just, yeah. I just call it like I see it. That's what I like about this show.
Anyways, on to the match.
On to the match. It was okay.
Crowd got into it. Really
good
for me.
It's too bad that we'll go Punk beats Cena. Gimmick being a shit. Unfortunately, a botched GTS.
Well,
there. It was a knee to the stomach.
Yeah, but that was on both times he botched it, and I don't blame Punk for it. I blame Cena for not going over properly,
and it
looked like he didn't trust him. Now, that said, Punk has legitimately hurt more than a few guys with that move.
Yeah, but Punk, Cena's taken it now how many times? I mean, is it trust?
And maybe that's why.
Whatever, if you've taken it that many times in your main event match at WrestleMania.
Maybe he consistently fucks it up, and we don't know it.
Whatever.
And he gets hurt on it. Like, it's possible. And there's a few times in this match where...
Yeah, but if you're going to pull out, now
like
is not the time.
Knee, like the running knee last at Money in the Bank, that one running knee that was so brutal.
Yeah.
Tonight there was a running knee, and I actually just want to bring this up.
Oh, Daniel Bryan.
Running knee from the outside, off the apron to the outside on Wade Barrett. Holy shit,
was
awesome.
Probably the spot of the night, actually.
That was just great.
Yeah.
It was great. Yeah, I mean, you had, like I say, I think a couple things. Number one, there was a point where there was a dive by Punk outside, and Cena missed him. And Punk looked like he really cranked his neck against the barricade.
Mm-hmm.
Looked really, really painful and dangerous. and the type of thing that leads to those type of early surgeries. You know, one of those spots people won't remember, but when he'll look back on his career, it'll be one of the ones we have blamed for the injuries.
Right.
Another thing is that one of the issues with the match is, at that spot when they did that, Triple H came outside and rolled them both in. Most of the match, they weren't really playing up the fact that he was a referee.
That's right.
There was a few times where they did, just to remind you, and that was a big problem, I think. The crowd, while they were for CM Punk about, I'd say, 80-20.
I was going to say, yeah, 75-25, 80-20, yeah.
Something like that. I mean, they were definitely, and they started off hot and chanting. As the match goes on...
They were waiting.
Yeah, that's the problem with a match like this, and I think that's why it doesn't click for me. You're waiting for that spot. You're waiting for the referee to do something. You never buy that anything is a finish because you haven't had that...
We were waiting for Stephanie.
We're waiting for Stephanie.
That's what we were
waiting for.
Waiting for
Hunter to screw him. You're waiting for all of this.
Well, speaking of Stephanie, but also, well, we'll get to that in a minute. We'll do when we do a wrap up. But botch GTS. Punk wins. Cena's foot on the rope that Hunter doesn't see, so he counts the three. So Cena does a little bit of complaining after the fact, and you know, Hunter's going, well, whatever. I didn't see it, if that's the case. You know, I just counted on three, blah, blah. Cena's got his out. His foot was on the ropes, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Punk is celebrating, and Punk rolls back in the ring.
Well, are you going to talk about Punk and Hunter first?
I'm going to talk about Punter and Hunk, yes.
Punter and Hunk?
Yes,
those are the guys you hung out with at high school, weren't it?
Oh, I thought that was one of your Dutch childhood television heroes.
Punter and Punter. That's huge in Denmark.
And yeah. Well, so am I.
You know what?
Of course, I'm huge in Calgary too.
Yeah,
I'm huge in your mom's room.
the joke is that I'm the one who's huge.
Well, you're fat.
Oh, I'm mistaken.
Yeah, but my dick is big.
But yeah, no, Punter and Hunk. That's just as popular as Asterix and all those.
There you go. Yeah, you do like the ass. Punk and Hunter, Hunter goes to shake his hand, and Punk won't, just stands there, but then Hunter goes, well, whatever, and raises his hand, and then does the whole around the ring with the hand raising.
And we're just waiting.
We're waiting for a pedigree, and then he rolls out, and Hunter
and
goes...
I'm going, something's got to happen here, and you're like, I don't know.
Well, yeah, like I don't know, and then Punk stands up on the he's going up to the top rope, and before they do a hard shot or a tight shot of Punk at there, I see... Kevin Nash coming down
is
that Kevin Nash? And you're
like,
what are you talking about? I didn't see Nash. I'm like, yeah. I think Kevin Nash is coming down
What the fuck is Kevin Nash doing there?
Yeah, like, what the fuck, Kevin? And then they pull away from the hard shot. Kevin Nash is in the ring, and I'm sure they did the tight shot because they weren't confident on, you know, Nash's ability not to blow his quad walking into the ring.
Probably.
So then they could have just rolled him out, and only the people in L.A. would have seen it.
We still haven't heard reports that he actually did get out.
That's true.
Again, he wasn't supposed to do the job, so he probably did.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. He was fine. His heart's okay. But he comes into the ring. He jackknifes Punk. And as they said, that's Kevin Nash, to which, what did Booker say? That's my main homie or
something? Like that, yeah.
My big homie? It's my big homie.
That's my big homie!
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Main event mafia. But, and then Hunter's going like, what the fuck? And Hunter goes after...
Yeah, Hunter's acting like he doesn't know what's going on. He's apparently in charge of the company, and yet he can't stop
this. But he doesn't talk to Nash, right?
No,
they're not friends.
No.
But then Alberto Del Rio comes in.
Hunter doesn't drink wine.
Cashes his money in the bank in. Yeah.
Love you, man.
And 1-2-3.
Yeah.
Alberto Del Rio, the new...
Which is the other reason character. I think that we weren't excited. I'm not sure if the crowd was beating that, but, I mean, we even said, oh, we're waiting for... That's the other guy we're waiting for. We're waiting for Del Rio. Del Rio's walking out with the title. I mean, I think it was in our minds.
Yeah, I was... I was going that, but, I mean... You know, I'm saying, yeah, it looks all kind of signs led to me saying that. But again, the more that they went on, as soon as it was the jackknife, I thought, okay, well.
Well, that was pretty awesome. As soon as you saw Nash.
Because you're not doing Nash and Punk for the title.
No.
So I was going, okay, well, that's pretty.
I don't think you're doing Nash and Punk at all. I don't think that works anyway.
Are you kidding? You imagine?
Promos might be great.
Well, no, but I mean, fuck. one of, I mean, the click's the click for a fucking reason, right?
Yeah.
Who's the hottest rising guy? Hey, Hunter.
Yeah.
Give me a piece of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Fuck.
That's true. But I just... But, I
no,
didn't.
I mean, it's...
His hair was still dyed.
Yes, yes, that's...
And they did call him Kevin Nash, not Diesel. Did you notice that?
I did. They said it was Kevin Nash, which, I mean, that makes sense. I mean,
yeah.
Diesel, yeah, I don't know. But anyway.
Royal Rumble, that's what he was, though. That's the last time I saw him, right? And, you know, he's been bitching, whatever, that he wants to be out there. Now,
yep.
I think I want to break this down a little bit.
Ooh, ooh.
We talk about Hunter's role. Have they set it up? They set it up so they can go in either direction with him not knowing anything about this, or that he screwed Cena on purpose.
It was me, Cena. It was me all along.
In order to build the spot with Nash, and it's a swerve down the road. Now, where do you think they're going with that?
Well, I think with Stephanie, I think you build to a spot.
Yeah, a wet spot.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
And flower.
Gee. But, no, I mean, I look at it like...
She's the mom now, you know.
There's lots of players in play again where it's the nice part about it, at least, is that I'm still guessing a little bit with it. I mean, because you still have Johnny Ass, right? You've still, who was there that Punk had to apologize for. So he's still a character there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he can't cut a promo, but...
He's not allowed to cut promos.
But
he
can cut
Vince. But all the WWE.com profile they did to him, they need to air it because it's fucking gold.
It's hilarious.
But they manage the sheep herders and build them into the team you now know as the Bushwhackers.
That's awesome.
But then you've got Step on Me, who did the shit with Hunter, the shit with Punk, the shit with Cena, right? All on
yeah.
the pay-per-view, right? And then Nash, who has the click. Maybe he's the bodyguard for Alberto Del Rio.
That's what I think. That was my first reaction. I still think that's what it is.
Well,
I think it's going to be revealed. That's a perfect role for him, because that way he doesn't ever have to wrestle. And he can do his jackknife and look intimidating and big.
Well,
and this is much better than Brody's Clay. It's going to be, my figuring is it's going to be revealed. You can go a couple directions, like I say. That you can go with, why are you here, Nash? Why are you here? Why are you here? And then
mm-hmm.
it turns out Hunter brought him in all along. Or why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you here? And he won't say anything why he did it until it turns out at the next pay-per-view when he saves Del Rio again that he's really under his payroll and his bodyguard, and because Del Rio's rich and everything, it makes sense.
Yeah, well, that's
kind of the one I'm thinking of. I really do think it's the idea that he's the bodyguard to Del Rio.
And... The only thing I disagree with you, and the one thing when you say it's better than Brodius Clay, because I disagree with that, but that's just because I look at someone who was versus someone that is.
No, I know what you mean,
and
you're right.
You know,
when I say it's better than him, I think you know
what
I
name.
Mean
it's a bigger
it.
Name,
yeah,
of course, but
it
gets more of that main event focus than, say, Brodius Clay does, obviously,
exactly.
Right?
That's,
but,
that's what I mean.
Yeah. But, I mean,
if Brodius Clay had been booked strong at the beginning, then it would have been different.
Well,
but
he might
to constantly
be now.
Lose against Christian, which is what happened.
Yeah,
then
Brodius
then
might get
yeah.
a rerun here, though.
I hope
think.
So.
I
like him.
But I mean, when you talk about
he looks thin
compared to you. Yeah. But the thing is, Nash. I don't know. And then you can, I mean, if you want to build up the Virgil spots with Del Rio and Nash too, you can get one match out of that, right?
I don't think you do that even. I'm looking forward to when they have the tag team titles together.
There you go.
No, I don't think you even do that.
Two dudes with attitude?
I don't think Nash should never wrestle. That doesn't mean he can't have a role.
No, that's
and
he right.
should never have another match.
No.
Never.
He will, but he should never. You're right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so that's how we end. We end with Del Rio is the champion. Hunter looks confused. Stephanie's still in the back, not seen. Nash, you know, goes through the crowd because he's an outsider.
Mm-hmm.
And Punk's looking at the lights here. So
I think what I'm thinking here is we got exactly what we expected, but three things we didn't expect, right? We didn't expect Hunter to still maintain his face persona. We didn't expect Stephanie to show up, and we didn't expect Nash. Other than that, we got Punk got screwed. Cena's still his fighting champion, and Del Rio's got the belt. That's three things that is what we expected.
That is what we expected. And I mean, I think just maybe it's the way that the presentation was, I think that's why it sort of overshot a little bit my expectations. Is that, you know, when I talked about it even as early last week, you know, with
Del Rio's, are you excited about Kevin Nash and Stephanie? Like, do you want to see them on your TV? I mean, if you want to, then you're like, this is good. If you don't, then you're like, eh.
Well, I'm interested in is what they're going to do. I like Kevin Nash. If he's not going to wrestle and he could talk, sure.
Yeah.
He adds something to the...
I would like him there if it was in a role that I wanted, and I don't think it will be, which is why I'm worried, right?
Well, what role...
I want him to be the bodyguard and never have another match.
And what role do you think he will be?
Well, like you said, he is. He's going to have another match.
Well, yeah, but I mean, but when, what, why, how? I mean,
doesn't
mean
matter
because it'll
be shit.
Well, of course, but if he has one match that, you know, whatever. I mean, I don't think that should make or break. If the thing is that you'll like it if he's the bodyguard that never has another match, and you'll hate it if he's the bodyguard that has another match, like, that doesn't really make any sense to me.
No, but that is it for me. I mean, if the bodyguard,
yeah,
who never has another match, he can lend a little credibility to a character and get some heat on a character, Del Rio.
If he's gonna have
the match, it's gonna lead to another match and another match. It's gonna make somebody else who might, like Punk, who is on an upward rise, look bad because number one, he's gonna pin him, and number two, it's going to be a shit match, and that's just never good. So I'm
willing to cross that bridge when I get there, though. And if he's going to be the bodyguard, whether it's for 6 months or 6 weeks, then I'll like that role. And then when the role changes, I'll agree with you, and I won't like it. But you know, if he's going to come in and be the bodyguard, then I'll like it.
Well, how excited are you to watch Monday Night Raw? I mean, I was so excited after Money in the Bank to see what happens the next night.
Well, when we talked about an 11 out of 10 to be excited. I'm probably, I have 8 out of 10. You know,
there's enough intrigue.
Because, you know what, they're not quite WCW or TNA where, you know, they build the pay-per-view so you have to watch Raw. But there are enough unanswered questions from the main event coming out of SummerSlam.
There's just one angle. There's more unanswered questions for SmackDown coming out of this than there is for... There's unanswered questions with Barrett and Bryan. There's unanswered between Christian and Orton to some degree. There's unanswered between... Because Christian will want a rematch. Unanswered between Sheamus and Henry. So there's a lot of intrigue over there. Everything's on the one angle on Raw.
And Raw, yes, it is on the one angle.
So we know the world title, though, would be defended between... The two Mexicans.
So the Mexican will win. But the thing is, you still have, will Stephanie be there? Will Nash be there? Will Del Rio will cut his Destiny promo. They'll have that match. But then Cena had the foot on the ropes. Punk's been screwed over. So,
the first time I saw Stephanie, I was surprised. And she got a pop.
But
by the third time I saw Stephanie, I didn't care anymore. And that's kind of it. It's like, okay, there's intrigue. What's Stephanie mean? It would be intrigue if I gave a shit about Stephanie or wanted to see her. The same thing with Nash. Even with Nash, I'm like, I want a role for Nash, but I didn't necessarily want a huge role for him because I don't think that's good for the company. So, I mean, this is almost too big a role. Like, Nash to be on the TV and entertain me a little bit, that's fine.
I'm not saying that on Tuesday that I'm going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that in terms of 8 out of 10, you know, they have questions they need to resolve.
I'm
going to
give myself a
6.5
because there are some things there, but I'm not.
And you can't leave it.
7.5 for SmackDown for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. And, I mean, Stephanie's pop was the...
It wasn't huge, but it was there.
It was the you're back. It was the same pop Jimmy Hart got, for God's sakes, right? I mean, it was the you're back on my television, hey, how you been pop, right? And then that's
by the way, the expression she was using when she was staring at Punk,
mm-hmm.
It was like just that subtle McMahon acting that we're so used to.
Vince, yeah.
Yeah, just, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yes. Well, that was SummerSlam.
Overall, what do you give it again? 6.5, you said?
6.5, I'd say, yeah.
You're 6, so.
Yeah,
so. Again, it's something, if that sounds intriguing to you, I mean, do I say see it? I say yes.
Be there!
Because of the one match. And I do think it's a match people should see.
I think that, yeah, that was definitely a...
Just don't expect a great overall event, but you know you what? You're going to enjoy that.
It was... Well, the rest of the event, I mean, we didn't talk about D'Lo Brown's singing there, but, I mean, we aren't really going to because it was just he sang his two songs there and
yeah, no,
but
he had the bellows out with him and a couple other chairs there. You know, and I was just looking to see if they... he sang that Fuck You song.
Yeah, yeah.
See, he tried to get the crowd to chant it, and I was just checking to see if the Divas were chanting it, but they didn't really get that off. So,
the Divas didn't get off.
He's good. He's at first I thought it was Oscar from Intermission.
Yes, and I thought it was Coco Beware.
And he didn't sing Pile Driver, so I was disappointed.
It. Fucking hate him.
Coco had a better voice.
Totally.
Coco's actually a little bit heavier than that now.
Yes, he is. But, all right, well, that wraps up SummerSlam. So we know tomorrow on Raw we've got Alberto Del Rio and Rey Mysterio, so that's the one thing
you've
got.
You pretty much know Del Rio's going over, but you expect a really good match.
Interesting.
Probably not leading to something else for Rey.
No.
You could see next pay-per-view could lead to a rematch Rey and Del Rio, and you could have Punk and Cena number one contendership. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can do it.
There are. Again, there's lots of things that can spill out of this.
Yeah.
So, interesting to note, I guess, is that no Dolph Ziggler, you know, Alex Riley.
Didn't expect
situation.
Well, they needed, a half hour for the main event, and I think Christian and
Orton just when there were five and
they a half hour.
They had six matches.
Yeah,
right?
and Barrett and Brian went for quite a while.
Oh, yeah. In hindsight, they filled the time. I'm just saying that, you know, we didn't have a U.S., we didn't have an Intercontinental with the new Intercontinental champion.
Not even a champion, it's a SummerSlam.
The new Intercontinental champion, Cody Rhodes, beating Ezekiel Jackson. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, that's a perfect role for Cody Rhodes. I mean, it's just, if the belt meant more, that would mean a lot. But when the belt doesn't mean a ton, and it's already being changed hands several times this year, but, that's a good role. Let's have him have that belt and hold it for a while and see if he can gain a little momentum of it and then move him up the card.
Yeah. Well, that's
he's much better. I'd much rather have him than Ezekiel Jackson because Ezekiel Jackson...
is just... horrible.
Well, I mean, they were chanting "You can't wrestle a Cena," and I'd say I Cena when he, like 2003, 2004, 5, Cena was like a 2.5 out of 10 in the ring.
Yeah,
and he's about a 5.5 out of 10 now. Like he's no longer a "You can't wrestle" guy. I would chant that at. He's never going to be great. He's never going to be Shawn Michaels, but he's not that guy. I'm going to chant that at. Not like Zeke.
Yeah. Zeke is the guy you chant that at.
Yeah.
So.
Who also and can't cut a promo when...
We will, but it's a taped show, so it probably won't make air.
Yeah, that's right. When is it we're seeing... when is that we're going to the SmackDown
tape like
here in Calgary?
23rd of August, I want to say.
So like a week from this Tuesday?
It's like, not this coming
we will do
SmackDown,
a,
but the next SmackDown. So we'll do a post-show right
we'll
after,
We'll do a post-show
eh?
Right after, I guess, if people want the spoilers, and that means I have to see you one more day that week.
I know. I have to see you. So I ain't any more blessed than that. So let's hit, as I said, we did have a little bit of time here, so we want to make it kind of a short and sweet show, but did want to hit a couple of things. We'll talk about the ROH, the Sinclair tapings maybe on our Thursday show.
Okay.
Just because we do have, we filled most of the time here with SummerSlam, but I do, obviously, they've taped yesterday in Chicago with all the, you know, probably a month's worth of television taping. So just wanted to hit a couple sort of quick points there. The SummerSlam, I should mention tonight, legitimately sold out.
Yeah,
talent couldn't get their friends tickets, so they had a legitimate sellout.
You mean John Morrison couldn't get Melina tickets?
Apparently not. And man, did she ever scream about that! By the way, did you see the new Z True Long Island story?
No.
Oh fuck! Did I text you about this?
No.
Oh, okay. I'll show it to you after because it's only like 3 minutes. But because Melina was fired, right?
Yeah.
So Zack Ryder's dad has to say goodbye to, you know, the love of his life because she's been fired. And so they show a montage of, like, Zack Ryder's dad and Melina moments
oh, yeah?
to tell me a lie.
Nice.
It's beautiful.
Nice. I'll watch it myself when I get home.
It is a beautiful.
Good.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
But
I'll actually tell that story though about Melina in case everyone doesn't know it.
Melina got. Oh, Melina got. Yes, they tried to get on into Raw. They. What is it? She got fired on Friday and then tried to get into Raw on Monday. To see her boyfriend wrestle, and you know, and.
They wouldn't let her
and he wanted
backstage.
To see his girlfriend box. But, yeah, they wouldn't let her backstage. Said
and
no.
Then they wouldn't let her in the front either.
No.
She was banned from the... Melina was banned from
Melina
the entire building.
Melina was banned from the building.
And then R-Truth went over clean on Morrison on
Facebook.
Well,
that's what it was. It was... They didn't announce that in the match, and that's where the announcers, again, we talk about how they don't follow through on everything.
Yeah.
It actually was supposed to be John Morrison versus R-Truth, Melina banned from the building.
Yeah, oh,
that
yeah,
was the match.
They
so
missed it.
They missed it. I don't know how.
Banned from
but,
the company, actually.
Banned from the company. Banned from the WWE Universe. So there
yeah.
you go. I do want to say on a happier note. Actually, I'll hit a happy note, and then we'll hit a sad note here too. But the happy note. Another WrestleMania main eventer, WrestleMania 1 main eventer, Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff announcing cancer free.
Oh, that's great.
Cancer scare.
That's great.
So
that's two main events.
Three.
Cancer three? Actually, Mr. that's right.
T.
Mr. T as well.
Mr. T.
So that's three of them who've faced it and beat it. So that's cool. That's, you know what?
Don't make me mad.
I'm not. I wasn't going to do anything, T.
Mm-hmm. See, you make him mad by forgetting him.
Oh, there yeah. you go.
But, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, cancer free. Good news. Unfortunately, bad news. Former pro boxer. AWA personality. I guess he was a wrestler and a referee.
Scotty Ledoux
passed away.
Who I used to watch. He used to replace on color commentary on Friday Night Lights or not Lights. Friday Night Fights on ESPN2. He used to replace Tony Atlas or not Tony Atlas. Teddy Atlas.
Jesus.
So he used to replace Teddy Atlas, and that's where I actually got to see him.
Can you imagine if he replaced Tony Atlas?
He could have.
Well, I think I could have.
But anyways, it was he was great at that. I never had a chance to see him wrestle, but he was fantastic in that role. So.
Well, he was they did the trouble shooting referee gimmick.
Yeah.
With him for ages in the AWA, you know, while because he wasn't just wasn't ready to be a worker. So they would do that and
of course the WWE would have just put him in the ring. Mason Ryan.
Well, yeah, Mason, exactly. Well, so I mean, maybe not back. Yeah, I guess they probably would have back then, actually. Yeah. So anyway, but it's
then,
probably back yeah. then. I mean, the Warlord was mostly back
then. This was before that, though. Even this would have been, you know, this would have started when Senior probably still had the company, is I think when he probably would have. Debuted in around
no.
Ledoux?
No, Scotty Ledoux, that was at the end of AWA. That was like in the AWA.
I
know,
it was like 1984. Well, I guess that would have been Vince Jr. then.
Yeah, yeah, no, it was, I want to say he was reffing in like 87,
yeah.
I want to say, right? So, yeah. But anyway, no, our you know, to his friends and family, our condolences out to Scotty Ledoux. Anyway, to move on, Kevin Eck.
Yeah.
Of the Baltimore Sun is joining WWE Creative at the end of this month to report directly to Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
He is really a, when they say he's joining the creative team, he's actually, I mean, he is, but he is sort of the conduit between creative and the talent relations department, where he's going to be the one that comes up with the character and the vignettes for the new debuting characters.
Let's explain to people in case they aren't sure who he is. What was his background? He was in WCW.
He was the editor of like WOW magazine and the WCW magazine, and writes the Ring Posts column in the Baltimore Sun. It has for years.
And has always provided really good commentary and really good interviews and knows his shit. They've hired somebody
that knows their shit.
Yeah, exactly. They've hired somebody into a wrestling person into a wrestling position. So this is a new ground for the WWE.
Yes, it is. It really is. But I mean, it's tremendous.
Yeah.
It's tremendous for two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's tremendous because, A, yes, they've hired someone with a wrestling background, as you said, knows their shit to do this. And not only is it someone that knows their shit, but it's what he's been hired to do,
yeah.
which is to come up with characters and create the vignettes to introduce these people. So you're getting...
And he's also somebody else who is... who understands mixed martial arts and what makes that work right now?
Well, that, yeah, exactly. So
that's
another
positive.
You don't have, you know, you're not going to have Gavin Spears and you know and fucking Scotty Goldman just show up.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, these people are going to not be sort of cold dropped on you. There's going to be some like an Alberto Del Rio or Karma, you know, to kind of go on with that. So you're going to have more. Well, not even more. It should be everybody should have some form of debut outside of the odd one that gets dropped, right?
Yeah.
So, but that is Kevin X. So, any other thoughts on him?
No, I'm just looking forward to seeing his work.
Yeah. So, then just a couple.
When does he start? Actually, is he already
end of the month? It's the end of the month.
Okay.
So yeah. So, couple more quick hits here that. May not wait till Thursday. I'm just having a look to see.
I got one because I just this week I think we should talk about this, and I know we usually save the Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week,
mm-hmm.
but this week's a little bit different. So I'm going to get you to tell. I'll do the announcement. It'll be a little bit different, a little bit of a twist on our usual segment this week. I want to talk about the Hulk Hogan truth of the week.
Yeah, that was weak. But yes.
Weak.
Our truth. The Hulk Hogan truth. Vince Russo at Hardcore Justice. Vince Russo and Hulk Hogan going at it quite verbally over, I guess, the main event of Sting and Angle. The finish hadn't been decided yet or hadn't been agreed to. You know, that doesn't work for me, brother. And so they're going back and forth during the show. Like, while the show is going, the pay-per-view is going on, they still haven't nailed down what the finish is going to be. Because Hogan's going, this doesn't make sense.
Which it didn't.
And it didn't. And Hogan's going to go,
this
is
get
stupid.
Over.
Yes, and he said, this is dumb, this isn't going to get over. And Hogan finally acquiesced. Went out and did it, and
that makes me wonder if the Hulk Hogan flipping out at Angle for doing that at the end, if that was him going into business for himself, because that also didn't make sense.
No, and that could have been Hulk Hogan, sabotaging it,
or maybe showing his real thoughts on this. When it happened, and just went, "Fuck it, this is stupid." I mean, who knows? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, but apparently they were arguing pretty heavy, right?
They were, yeah, they were arguing pretty heavy, and I mean, it's, could be heard from, you know, people passing by, you know, in the locker room there, so...
And Hogan walked away saying...
Russo doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the Hulk Hogan truth
of the
week.
Yeah. And is this coming to a head? I mean, is it going to mean anything? Is it going to matter?
Well, Al Snow is there.
Hmm.
What does everybody want?
What does Dixie Carter want?
Yes. Well,
seriously, is this gonna be any fallout from this?
You know, I don't know. You know, they've got, when you talk about fallout, I mean, we're going towards Sting Hogan, right?
Yeah.
You know, we're gonna get Sting Flair.
Yeah.
Which I'm interested in.
Yeah, perversely.
I just want to see it. I just want to see it. But, I mean, when does Hogan's contract end? In November, doesn't it?
I have no idea. Probably, at least.
He signed in November, him and Bischoff. So, I mean, Carter ain't going to get rid of Russo. So, I mean...
You think when Hulk Hogan, his contract is up, and he goes to her and says... This time I'm not re-signing unless he's gone. She's going to go buy Hulk? You really think that?
I do. No, I think she's going to say...
Do you think, what's her name? Janice?
Yeah. Well, I think Janice, definitely.
Yeah?
I think Janice is going to kiss that multi-million-dollar contract that they're paying for exactly the same pay-per-view, for exactly the same revenue that's coming in. Not exactly the same, a little bit more revenue, but not nearly enough revenue to cover the costs of the people that they brought in. I think the bookkeeper, the one that's looking at the debits and credits and just staring there and doesn't give a fuck who Hulk Hogan, who Dixie Carter, who Vince Russo, I don't care who Dixie Carter is, but doesn't care who Vince Russo is, like, as you know, she's just looking at the numbers. I think she's going to go, na-na-na-na.
You don't think there's any chance Hulk can say to her, yeah, I haven't made the difference, because this guy doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
Well, or...
He's going to say, give me one more chance. At this time, give me the chance, which you never gave me. Because they're desperate. You should be desperate anyways. You should be.
Well, so should he. But
he is.
I mean, maybe that'll happen. I mean, that's very... But I just... I mean, Dixie wasn't in charge before, but I mean, Russo went bye-bye, so Hogan could pretend to come in and never did, right?
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, I don't buy it. I don't know what's gonna happen. But I mean,
okay.
All logic says get rid of this dick, but she just doesn't for whatever reason.
All logic has said that since before he was hired.
Yeah, and. You know, it's not...
You know what, we're talking about this. I want to bring up something that was in the Observer newsletter from Dave Meltzer. And he said that's the Samoa Joe has a few months left on his contract, but the one it is due, he is seriously looking at his WWE options. Any thoughts on that?
Oh, I thought he re-signed.
No, apparently he's got a few months, apparently.
Oh,
I mean, he did re-sign. That was like a year and a half ago.
Okay, no, I thought it was... Okay, so if he has a few months, then yeah, you definitely want to be looking at your WWE options, of course.
Yeah.
Of course, the Usos need a partner.
Fuck that. I mean, if you're talking about Kings of Wrestling and Cabana,
yeah, I know,
and Brian
I know.
And all that stuff, I mean,
I know.
Fucking, that would be great.
Yes, yes, it
I mean,
would.
I don't think he's a good fit there either, but Jesus Christ, he's got to get out of this, because he's been fucked around for so long. And he continues to be, despite the crowd obviously wanting more from
yeah.
him.
Oh, no, he's definitely, I mean, his time in TNA should definitely come to an end. I mean, I don't...
He's talking about WWE, and you can't blame him for that, but I sure love to see him just over in ROH just kicking ass and taking names. Chewing bubblegum, which he doesn't have.
But he's all out.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of TNA and some talented people, let's...
Sorry about that, my cock ring.
Oh, yes, yes. Let's talk about... Jimmy Wang Yang.
Yes.
Did you hear about Jimmy Wang Yang?
No. Nope. Let's talk about it because I have no idea.
Jimmy
what Jimmy
Wang Yang
Speaking
was
of my cock ring.
Part of exactly. Well, he's a small guy. He was in on he was on Impact.
Mm-hmm.
And so was yours. He Impact. In part of that Destination X qualify for a contract tournament, right?
Yes, yes.
So, he was just on the Impact, never used since.
He was in the same match as Loki.
Yes, okay. Sent the payment for that appearance,
mm-hmm.
and he goes to the bank, and the check bounced.
It's Impact Wrestling, folks.
It is Impact Wrestling. Yes, Jimmy Wang Yang's Impact Wrestling appearance check bounced.
Yeah. His check for $45.
Yes, I know. That's the thing. Like, it's like, he also got a Happy Meal coupon. They wouldn't accept
Christ.
It at McDonald's either. I don't know.
That's good, though, because now he can qualify for food stamps.
Yes. God. But...
Jesus.
Yeah, so I just thought I'd bring that up because that makes me.
I guarantee Hulk Hogan's isn't bouncing.
No. But while we're on the, what do we got today? We're coming up on an hour
let's
here.
Let's
just
hit our email and then bounce.
I was gonna say I hit email. One more thing I will hit in Red Deer, Alberta,
mm-hmm.
on September the 15th will be the professional independent wrestling return of D.H. Smith.
Okay, excellent.
So.
And I'm going to make note of that, special note of that. I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to actually say something because I'm going to get off on something here because you talk about Red Deer, Alberta, and what was it?
No, let's not talk about that bullshit. I don't want to give them any publicity.
I do. I do.
Oh, you do? Do
I
you?
Do. Okay. Yeah, I do.
Well, then
because
let's
we
just be counterproductive.
To get an interview with, we intended to get an interview, or attempting to get an interview. Roddy Piper is here this week. And we were attempting to get an interview with him. Now, he's replaced Lance Storm on the television show World of Hurt. And World of Hurt is produced by a local guy who thinks he's a bigwig, Larry Day, and his wife, Kirsty McCon, who
Cunt.
Some of you may know only from the fact that she wrote that awful Under the Mat book by Diana Hart, the one with all the grammatical and spelling errors that got published.
Even grammatical.
Yes. What did I say?
Grammatical.
Fuck it. Anyways... She's the one. I
think she wrote. I think she wrote grammatical in there.
She probably did because it's awful. It's a horrible, horrible piece full of lies, terrible writing, terrible spelling, terrible grammatical errors.
You know, I gave your mom my horrible piece.
Now here's. I actually worked with Diana Hart at this time. She's
twice.
A bright, intelligent. Witty lady, and
ass.
It was pretty obvious she had nothing to do with this book. Now. I am World of Hurt. We attempted to, as I say, get an interview with Roddy Piper because he's being brought
toys.
In for media. Well, not for media, to talk about his role in that. For $20, you can listen to him talk for an hour on what he's going to do on this show.
She made me
so
breakfast.
We attempted to get this interview with him, and they said, I'm sorry, we don't have the time. Your only purpose in this event is to try and get publicity and media for your show.
I didn't eat the
you
breakfast.
You and your slut bag wife. Your nepotism of your idiot son, Larry Day's son, Buddy Day, Larry Day himself.
I had to
you
go
guys
to work.
Did not have time. World of Hurt is on the cave. World of Hurt is watched by 12 people on a channel
bacon.
With 14 people subscribing. With no international distribution.
Right.
We have so many more listeners than
back.
They have viewers.
Came
and yet these
back.
Morons... cannot sit there and say, we'll give you time. Now, I still
back.
Love Roddy Piper. Hot Rod is the man, is one of my favorites, always will be one of my favorites. But these idiots would not give us the time.
Most
well, go fuck you.
Me.
You know what? I tell you what. You can blow me
so
just
okay.
like Addy is doing with his transsexual boyfriend, which is why he's doing when he's watching
mom.
Impact Wrestling. And if you don't like it, blow a go at it as well. Because I think that what they're saying, these World of Hurt assholes, Pyramid Productions, is that you fans, our listeners, who are the
I
best
no idea,
damn listeners on the internet,
transsexual.
The most loyal,
explains
the funniest,
the
and the smartest, are not good enough for
mustache.
This show, despite the fact that there's legions more of you than there is of them.
And the armpit
so
hair.
I'm going off on this rant. What I'm saying is I want you to spam those fuckers.
And the mullet.
I want you
now
to email them
that
they should have granted the interview. I want you
the
to
nasty
just
mullet.
Email the World of Hurt,
really
Pyramid Productions. Tell them to go fuck themselves.
Pretty
because they said
the
you're
back.
Not important enough. And God damn it, you're way more and
I'll
way
still,
more important
I'll
than
go back and see
World
most,
of Hurt and this television
again.
Show, The Cave, and all this bullshit. Mo's so that's it. I've had my rant. I had to go off on
Mo's mom. What?
What? I'm sorry. What were we talking about?
Your mom.
Oh. How's she doing?
She has a mullet.
She's a redhead, too.
Yes. A lot.
All right.
All right. Well, let's end. We got a very nice email, and this email came actually just as we were recording last Sunday's show, or maybe even before last Sunday, and I just am an idiot about checking my email. It goes back to a debate that, speaking of your mom, that we had regarding how you were wrong about how many people were watching the show on YouTube, all the shows. And so we got it's a lovely couple that listens to the show, Brian and Lee. Lee, Chinese, Brian, Irish, as their names may even infer. They want to talk about the pay-per-views because we had mentioned, they did email me, I'd asked someone to email me and let me know in the United Kingdom how many pay-per-views they do get. It is 6 for free and 6 that are, in fact, pay-per-views. So I thank Brian for that, Lee for that. What they were saying is that they were mentioning that it was more on, or we were mentioning that it was more the weekly shows that were available on, say, the YouTubes and whatnot. But he said that he will go within hours of their broadcast to a... he said, case in point, if you search for Money in the Bank on the DailyMotion.com website, the whole show was there.
Yeah.
At least at the time that he wrote this. So
probably still is.
Yeah, probably.
And if it's not there,
so,
it's on other tube channels.
So what his point was, you know, that it's not just affecting the weekly shows, is that it may have an effect on, it would have an equal effect on the pay-per-view buys. You know, judging by the amount of views, these videos, it said thousands for the WWE and at least 17 for TNA.
Hmm.
So that's twice as many people buy their pay-per-view.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
well, Daily Motion is in more homes than Spike TV.
Mm-hmm. He did also point out that, you know, when I had said I don't care about the customer that is going to just, isn't going to pay for anything. You know, he was saying, well, what about the people who don't have access to the pay-per-views or the shows in countries that don't broadcast them? Well, now, clearly, if you're in a country that doesn't have WWE television or pay-per-view, you know, I can't fault you for going online and watching them that way. Because you're not really taking any money out of WWE's pocket, because you can never put money into their pocket to begin with. So it's my problem is with the person that could be, yes, that could be a paying customer that chooses not to be. Mm-hmm. And if that's your choice, well then, you know, I choose not to have, you know, any promotional vehicle or care for what your opinion is. So that's just it. And he said, you know, they had a quick, nice little note, you know, love the shows, keep them going. Then his, at the end he says, you know, P.S., that his wife, there, Lee, says that Mo doesn't sound fat. But then she remembered that Addie is always right, so she changed her mind and said he is a fat fuck.
What?
Smart woman.
I just want to say this.
In the meantime,
I don't know Brian,
and in between,
I don't know
time.
Brian or Lee, but I just want to say this. I don't know you guys. You seem like very nice folks. I don't know what you look like or anything, but Lee, I'd fuck her.
She's got people. Well, yeah.
O-U-D.
on that note, we're going to leave, are we? All right, yes. If you can follow us on Twitter, at We Talk Wrestling is how you get to us. We are WeTalkWrestling.com. Please listen to our show. Join us on YouTube. We need a lot of loyal listeners, especially since, you know, Mo's driving them away with sexual advances. Addie at WeTalkWrestling.com. I'd love to hear from you. Just as Brian and Lee had found us at that email, I'd love to hear from you. It's Mo at WeTalkPodcast.com. We have our sister show that Mo is a part of, but you'd probably want to listen to it anyway. It's We Talk Comics, which is available on the Podomatic broadcasting site for podcasts. And I think I hit all the topics there. So that's going to wrap it up until Thursday.
I just
want to
say this. I'd fuck her.
Until Thursday. In the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.